Praise God. You know, we give honor today, number one, to my brother, Jerry. Now, I say Jerry, but I know he's Pastor Hatfield. And so I don't want to seem as if I'm not in honor, so I'll say Brother Pastor Hatfield and Sister Bonnie. I sent them an email or text. We text now. Did you know you can text prayers? I'm telling you. The prayers just go any kind of way now. But anyway, I sent him a text. And in the text, I told him. I didn't bring my phone, so I can't read it to you. But in the text, I told him that God had already healed Sister Bonnie. And that not only had he healed Sister Bonnie, he had healed him. Amen. Not only had he healed him, but he's healing and has healed everybody in this building this morning. Amen. Every single person in this building this morning. And if you have a request on your heart for the healing of God, then know that the word says, by his stripes you were healed. It is a past tense done kind of thing. Amen. It's done. Sometimes we pray and ask God to do something he's already done.
That's right.
You know, my little grandson, he comes to me and he says, Papa, can we, don't tell his mother, she's not here this morning, so it's okay. Can we get ice cream? I say, sure. But because I stop at a gas station or because I go to Sam's, he starts to feel like we're not getting ice cream. So what does he do? He comes and asks me again, Papa, can we get ice cream? What's my response to him? I thought I answered that already. I thought I told you yes already. And he says, you did. I said, so what does that mean? I got it already. I said, that's right. But as soon as I leave here, it's going to manifest to you, and you're going to see it. And that's what God does with us. He says, say it, though you might not see it in the sense realm. See, we operate so much in the sense realm. What is the sense realm? We have five of them. I can see it, I can smell it, I can touch it, I can feel it, or I can hear it. But God operates in the spirit realm. And he brings that into the physical realm. You bring it into the physical realm by what you say. In the spirit. When you speak words out of your mouth that comply with the word of God, that agree with the word of God, then you are bringing into your physical realm what has already been done in the spirit. Now, hopefully I'm going to show you that that's the truth. You know how preachers are. We get up, we can say all this kind of stuff, then we leave, we go home, and you go home and you look at the problem and it's still sitting on the dresser. But is it? Is it sitting on the dresser? What is faith? Faith is believing something you don't see right now, but you believe that it's going to be because you have a promise that it is.
Amen.
So like my little grandson, don't give up because we had to stop at another store. We'll still get it. There's a word that dominates all of the writings of the Apostle Paul. And that word that dominates the writings of the Apostle Paul is the word righteousness. It's all through there. Everywhere you read in one of his books, he's going to talk to you about righteousness. We think faith is the most powerful thing in our life, but it's not. Boy, that messed you up, huh? The most powerful thing in your life is a changed nature. And the changed nature that you have, God changed you from a sin nature to a righteous nature.
Amen.
Did you hear me? It is the righteous nature of God that gives you everything. But you got that righteous nature because of faith in the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not throwing faith out, but I'm telling you what faith got you. If I said to you in this room, did Jesus operate in faith? Mm-hmm. That's what you would say. Mm-hmm. And I would say no. Now that messes up everything, huh? I mean, who did Brother Jerry bring in here? What is wrong with this guy? Let me tell you something. God made Adam. Put him in the garden. There was nothing wrong with Adam. There was nothing wrong with the garden. There was nothing wrong with anything. Adam said, this is this. God said, okay, that's it. He just spoke it and that was it. Adam sinned. And things changed. Adam said something. God said, wait a minute, that's not right. I mean, the first thing that happens, he sins, he starts hiding, he's ashamed of God, he can't fellowship with God, he doesn't want to be in his presence anymore. So now you have a man walking around on the earth without relationship with God. Something has to be done to amend that relationship. And so God temporarily amended that relationship. Bible says he clothed Adam in the skins of an animal, which means he shed blood. So for centuries, the blood of innocent animals was shed to give man, and I say man, but some men, righteousness on credit. Abraham had righteousness on credit. And everybody from him on until the crucifixion had righteousness on credit. God attributed righteousness to Abraham on credit because Abraham had faith. He believed. Now Christ comes on the scene. And Christ says, be thou healed, woman. Now, that woman wasn't an ugly phrase. See, in our time, we can go to jail. You know, with the woman thing. The Me Too and all that. I mean, you know, you have to watch how you say things. But he said, woman, be thou healed. He said to the wind, shut up, stop. And it stopped. He told the waves, be calm. He walks up to the grave of Lazarus and he says, Lazarus, come forth. So we would say, well, he was operating in faith. Let me tell you something about the nature of Jesus. He was righteous. He knew no sin. Are you listening? He knew no sin. He was righteous. He was born under the time of sinful man And he was born under a covenant that was limited by senses. What you could see, smell, feel, touch, you know. That's the way it was working. But he comes because he is the originator of the covenant. Because he made every promise that's in the covenant. And he's walking the earth. And he says to the wind, be quiet, hush. He says to people, be healed. He reaches down, a man comes up to him blind. He reaches down, he gets some dirt. He says, well, you were made from this anyway, so I'm going to spit a little of this on here, which is me, and then I'm going to put this on your face, and you'll be all right. And the man comes seeing. Was he operating in faith? He was operating in righteousness. Everything that was happening to people was wrong because of sin. The woman was having an issue of blood because of sin. Not necessarily that she had sinned, but because sin had infected humanity. The waves were roaring and trying to destroy people. Why? Because of sin. But Jesus, because he was righteous, he could tell things that were wrong to be right. And it just had to be that way. He knew that he was saying what was right. Why did he know it? He said, everything that I am doing in front of you, I'm doing it because I see my Father do it. Everything that I'm saying to you, he says, I'm saying it to you because I hear my Father say it. He said, I came down from heaven to this earth to do these things. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm a righteous man. And so everything that I'm going to say is going to be righteous, and every element has to listen. Because I'm righteous. I'm not saying anything wrong. When I say to you, be healed, he says, I'm righteous. Why was that right? Because God didn't create Adam sick. Therefore, when sickness came upon him, it was wrong. Because it wasn't the plan of God. It was in the nature of Satan, the liar. So what he does to you, he puts things on you that is a lie. Yeah. You can accept it, you can buy into it, you can keep it. Or you can reject it. Because by his stripes you were healed. My God shall supply all of my needs. You need a house? He said he'll supply all of your needs. But you got to get to the place where you believe that. That you what? Deserve it. That's where you're not at. Do you deserve it? Is it yours already? Is God obligated to give it to you? Why is he obligated to give it to you? Jesus said everything that he was doing, he did because of the Father. So I'm telling you that he operated in righteousness. He operated in just correcting what was wrong. And he said to us, after he was raised from the dead, he said, look, all power has now been given unto me, both in heaven and in hell, in the earth, under the earth, above it, everywhere. He says, and look, I'm going to give that same power to you. Why? Because you need to go about correcting things that are wrong.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Disease is wrong. Lack is wrong. Hatred is wrong. All of these things come out of the sin nature, which is a selfish nature, which is the kind of nature that the devil himself had. It was the same nature that caused him to get kicked out of heaven in the first place. I will ascend unto the high mountains, and I'll take over. And I'll be not only like God, but I'm going to replace him. Started at the Tower of Babel, and it's still going on today. Mm-hmm. Hasn't changed. But there is a new man on the scene. Jesus came, and we would say that we are trying to be like he was. God intends completely that you have all these things. He said, seek you first the kingdom of God, and what? We seek everything but the righteousness. But that's what he said. Seek you first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness. Then he says, then all this other junk will be added to you. If you're righteous, you can demand right in a wrong place. You can demand right. Why? Because you're right. And God is always going to do what? The righteous thing. You don't believe it? He says all his ways are righteous. That's what he says. He says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because you're going to think righteous. You're going to start operating in what you are. Righteous. If we would start operating in what we are, then we would start seeing those things that in our sense knowledge we want to see. But you got to operate spiritually to make sense things happen. Amen. What is righteousness? Righteousness means the ability to stand in the Father's presence without the sense of fear, condemnation, or inferiority. Now, people would say, if I say, well, when I stand in front of God, I do not feel inferior to God. People would say, well, that's blasphemy. But the definition of righteousness is the ability to stand in the Father's presence without the sense of fear, condemnation, or inferiority. What you have to understand is that the relationship God is asking you to be in demands this. It is the relationship of family. It is the relationship of sonship and daughtership. That girl can come to me without fear. Amen. She is not inferior to me. I wouldn't dare think it, and I won't let you think it. Why? She's me. Her mother. Why should she fear her? She should come to her confidently, be knowing that the only thing that we want for her is what's right, what's best. When I go into the throne room of God, he told me in the book of Hebrews, I want you to come in here boldly. Don't come in here backing in, ducking, afraid, cowardly, thinking that I'm going to throw bolts of lightning down. He said, come in here and come in here boldly because I identify you with my son, Jesus. Amen. Because he identifies you with his son, Jesus, stop being mealy-mouthed. Stop being scared. Young lady, you are a mighty person in the Lord Jesus Christ. His righteousness within you makes you mightier than you know. That's what God is talking about. So I'm going to prove to you that the definition of righteousness didn't come from me. It came from the one who wants it in you and in me. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 13 through 14. Now, I don't have to wait on you to find it anymore. Because if I want it, it's there. See? There it is. I'm just saying what's right. There it is. Although I did give a list. That helps. But I think she could still find it if I hadn't given it already. Just might have taken her 1 second longer. But that book, that word there says, and all thy children shall be taught of Jehovah. Who's doing the teaching? Now, I know this is a King James Version, and you are able to understand that Jehovah there was translated Lord. But all of God's children, how many? Shall be taught of who?
The Lord.
So it's not me just trying to get you to see this. It's the Lord. He wants all of his children to be taught this thing. What is it? And great shall be the peace of thy children. If you are taught this, you'll have great peace. You know, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you. And I always wondered how in the world that was working. Now, I'm going to tell you, my time doesn't start for 10 minutes, so don't start looking at your watches. But listen, I used to wonder when he says, my peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth I unto you, but as a peace that surpasses all understanding. How can that be? So I would think, you know, that I got the peace of God no matter what until something happened. And then I was definitely no longer peaceful. Don't act like you've never been there. You have.
Oh, yeah. Been there all last week.
But when I began to understand something different, now I have the peace of God all the time. And believe me, things are chaotic sometimes. But I learned in the book of Genesis that God is drawn to chaos because he wants to straighten it out. You didn't know that, did you? The Bible says that God hovered over the earth because it was formless and void. That's chaos. He was drawn to it. Why? Because he wanted to straighten it out. Why did Jesus come to all the chaos in the world? To straighten it out. That's why. So here we go. It says, they shall be the peace of thy children. Great shall be the peace of thy children. Not just a little peace, but great. And then he said, in righteousness shall they be established. What does it mean to establish something, sister? To put it on a foundation. Everything that's on that foundation, it must hold up. Good thing the Lord didn't set it on a foundation in Texas soil. He set it in heavenly soil. He established us in righteousness. In righteousness shall they be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. If you are in righteousness, you have peace. And not only do you have peace, but it's impossible to oppress you. That's what he's saying here. It's impossible to oppress you. Why? Because I'm righteous. And righteous gives me a kind of knowledge that says I can only have what God wants. And you can't take it from me. It says I can have anything he says I am. And you can't stop it.
Amen.
Only you can stop what's for you. Only you. So then he says, for thou shalt not fear. Don't tell me you're scared. I'm just so scared. Things just ain't going to work out. I'm afraid that my car is going to break down next week. You bring into your life, by your words, all the things that can hurt you. That can oppress you. Because you talk it. You talk righteousness and you will stop unrighteousness.
Amen.
And everything that is of the devil is unrighteous.
That's right.
Do you tithe?
Yes.
Do you bring all your offering into the storehouse?
Yes.
Then based on your answer to me, it's wrong for the devil to break your car down. It's wrong for him to steal from you in any form or fashion. Because God said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake.
Amen.
But you say, I'm afraid this is, I ain't going to be able to pay this bill. How in the world am I going to send my child to school? It's so expensive nowadays. When did God go bankrupt? When did his economy in heaven have to do with our economy here? If you are walking in righteousness, he said, you can ask me what you will and it'll be done unto you. Because what are you going to ask for? What's righteous? Is it righteous to send your child to school? Absolutely. You would be remiss in your responsibility if you wanted them dumb. Right?
Amen.
Yes. Bible says a man is like an idiot, an infidel, that does not take care of what? His own. So yeah, that would be wrong. He says, and from terror, the word terror here really, if you understand it, it means from ruin. Anything that comes to ruin you. Anything that comes to destroy you, to harm you. He says you'll be free from that. Why? He says, for it shall not come near thee. It might have been formed to come near thee and to destroy you, but it can't because God promised you it can't come near you. So you see, the Bible says that when the disciples were out in the boat and the storm came, the Bible says that that storm actually came to destroy them. It was sent particularly for that purpose, for their destruction. But Jesus says, that ain't right. Stop. And it stopped. Because righteousness prevails over unrighteousness. If sickness is trying to dominate you, say, stop! I am the righteousness of God in Christ, and you have no place in me. So stop. The greatest and most liberating truth of the new creation is to be established in righteousness, to acquire a righteousness consciousness. We all have a sin consciousness. So many times I have heard people say, I am only a sinner saved by grace. That is wrong. The Bible says that if a man or a woman, please, is in Christ Jesus, that person is a new creation. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Can I tell you something? It's talking about your old sins have passed away. That's not just it. We think so much about the sin. We got a great sin consciousness. It's talking about all the things that try to come against you that used to work. They don't no more. That's right, you are. And that's what the book is telling you. All these things that used to work against you, they don't no more. Unless you say, okay, I can't help it. Because I am just a sinner. But I'm saved by the grace of God. Grace brought the Savior. But the Savior went and did the job that delivered you. We have a weakness consciousness. Everyone tells us our limits. You talk to your children, you talk to people, and you're always telling them what they can't do. We bind ourselves up and we bind our loved ones up and we bind the people in the church by always saying what they can't do. But if God has put a dream in you, listen to me, son. If a dream is in you, don't let anybody tell you what you can't do. I don't care how much money you have, and I don't care how much you need. When did God get poverty? If he put the dream there, he'll make it happen. You just got to go after it. That's your job. Going after what God has put in you. Just because he doesn't lay out every gold nugget you need in front of your face doesn't mean it's not there. The faith act that you do is you go after it. Because you are righteous in Christ and you are hearing from God and you are functioning and acting that way. What good would it be to be a son of God if I was ashamed to go to him? What good would that do? What would be the benefit of being one of the sons of God if he couldn't talk to me? If he couldn't do for me? I've got one daughter, and I think sometimes that she believes that her son has more authority with me than she does. Because every time she wants something, she sends him. Now, I'm glad that she thinks that I really love the little guy. But I love her too. So she's operating in secondary grace. Because she sends someone else. The father would have no pleasure in his children because we would be shrinking, cowardly, fear-filled beings. You think that's what God wants you to be?
No.
Jesus wasn't afraid of the storm. He wasn't even afraid to walk on water. Why? Because he knew that for him, what God had told Adam was true. You have authority over everything that I've created here because I gave it to you. And that included the elements and water and ice and snow and the Texas sun. The children would never enjoy the father's presence. Remember Adam after he sinned? What was the one thing he didn't want to do? They want God coming in the garden. Prior to that, they had walked together in the cool of the evening, the Bible says. That means at an appointed time. No redemption would be worth the name of Jesus if it did not include righteousness. No new creation and sonship would be worth the title if righteousness were not included. Therefore, the purpose of the redemption of God worked out in his son was more than just to forgive you of your sin. It was to make you righteous. You look at me now like, what do you mean? He wanted more than to forgive me my sins. What else? If he does that, no, that's not enough. He had to change you so that you didn't have to sin again. Amen. He had to fix it where you had the power to dominate and not be dominated. Amen. Mankind was being dominated by the devil through century after century after century. And God said, it's time out for him dominating. I want you to dominate. When Christ came, the reason everything he did worked was because he was a dominator. Amen. He came not subject to him. Why did he come not subject to him? Because he had the blood of his father and not the blood of Adam. Life, he said, is in the blood. So what life was in the blood of Jesus? Righteousness. Righteousness. So Jesus goes to the cross, and I'm going to try and speed this up because, I know. Jesus goes to the cross. He's hanging on the cross. The Bible says on the cross that God did something to him. He says what he did to him in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Did you see this? Who wants you righteous? Why did Jesus die? Just to save you from sin? Absolutely not. He died to do something greater than just save you from sin. He's had to save you from sin so that the Father could make you righteous. Amen. That was just step one. So he's hanging on the cross. God puts all the sin upon him. Not only does he put it upon him, he makes him that. That's what he's saying. You're looking at me like I'm... Says he made him that. How could God make Jesus sin? It's a spiritual thing. He did it to his spirit, not his physical body. And the Bible says when he did it to the spirit of Jesus, it changed Jesus so much that it showed up on the outside. And it said it made him so bad that it looked like he wasn't even a man anymore. It wasn't the beating that made him look bad. Amen. His face was distorted because of the demonic. Amen. His spirit became infected just like our spirit. And once his spirit became infected, now he was just like us. He had never been just like us, because he had always been righteous. But now on the cross, in order for God to let deal with my issues, he had to make his son me. Amen. And you. So now his spirit became infected. Do you know he could never have died if that didn't happen? Adam couldn't have died if he hadn't sinned. He wasn't eternal, but he couldn't die. So now Jesus has on his spirit us, our sins, our everything. And now what happens to him? His spirit goes down into hell. Remember he says to the man on the side that agreed with him, this day should thou be with me in paradise. He wasn't saying to that man, this very day, you and I are going to be in paradise together. He was actually saying to that man, what you believe right now is what it is. But I'm going to one place and you're going to paradise. Because Jesus went down into hell. which was below paradise. Because everything that was supposed to happen to me and you, because of sin, had to happen to him. So he's there, dead, because of sin. But the Bible says in Hebrews 5:5 that God said, "This day have I begotten thee." It's not going to show up there. This day. Did it? All right, look at her. Go ahead. He said, "This day have I begotten thee." In some translations says, "Again." You know why it says again? Because he was begotten of the Virgin Mary first, but then after he was made sin for me, he died. So he had to be born again. Remember what he told the guy, Nicodemus? You must be what?
Born again.
So after Jesus' spirit was what?
Born again.
It had to be born again. That's why he is the firstborn of many brethren. Because he was born again. And because he was born again, now my spirit can be born again. It wasn't his body that was born again. It was his spirit that was born again. And now God has rebirthed my spirit. And when God rebirthed my spirit, I became like Jesus in that I now am a partaker of the nature and the righteousness of God. Because God's nature is what, sister? Righteous.
Amen.
So now you are, everyone in this room, if you are a believer on Jesus Christ, you have a righteous nature, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Learn to live in this and it'll work. That's what he's telling you. Jesus was born again. You and I now are born again like unto him. So that God could put his very nature in you and I. He couldn't do that before. The Jews had righteousness reckoned unto them. It was a promissory note. That's why the Bible says that Jesus Christ went down into hell and preached to the captives and led captivity free. When he says captivity captive, he took the captive and he captured them and took them out. Why? Because after he rose from the dead, he went into heaven, Hebrews, and he placed his own blood on the mercy seat. He became a priest. He died a sacrifice, a lamb. But he was raised a priest. Because shedding of the blood had to be captured and put on the mercy seat. But since Jesus said it is finished on the cross, it wouldn't have done any good to put his blood on the mercy seat in the temple in Jerusalem, because it was finished. That's what he meant. It was finished. What? The temple in Jerusalem. It was finished. It was no more need for that thing. It was more no more need for the sacrifice of bloods and goats. Because now a new thing was about to start. So when Jesus was raised from the dead, a new thing started. And he had to take his blood to the mercy seat in heaven, in the temple, and place his blood on that seat. And then God said, "I accept that. Now, because you have done that, you have freed things up for me, and I can actually put my nature in human beings if they will believe on you." That's what he did. Don't see yourself as anything less than the righteousness of God, my sister. You hear me? Don't see yourself as anything less than the righteousness of God, and it'll start transforming how you see yourself, how you think about yourself, how you expect things to work for you. You want to change your perspective. If you change your perspective, you'll change your expectations.
Amen.
And you'll see things totally different coming from heaven.
Amen.
That's what God wants for you. That's what He wants. Just to give you this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Did I give you that one? Yes. Yes. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of Him, the Father, are you in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." Now look at that. It says, "But of Him," and I said, "the Father," so that's the Eddy translation. This is the King James translation. He wasn't as advanced as me in this, see? So I'm giving you the Eddy translation, "But of Him," the Father, "are you in Christ Jesus, who of God," who is again the Father, "is made unto us wisdom." Do you know you're smart enough to know how to use this thing that God has for you? That's what wisdom is, the ability to use what you learn. So God says, "Look, I'm going to make you smart enough to do this, because you're going to have the same smarts that Jesus had. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." See? And He said, "and righteousness." Wouldn't do any good for you to have a bunch of wisdom if you didn't have righteousness, because even though you might know how it's supposed to work, if you don't have the right nature, it still won't work. But because you have the right nature, wisdom now can work for you. And He said, don't forget, you want to be holy? He said, it's already done. You've been sanctified.
Amen.
Remember the song He was singing? "Make me holy." Well, good God, you already are.
Yes.
You already are. Why? Because you've been made holy in Christ. Now, I'm not telling you not to sing that song. I'm just telling you, recognize why you're singing it.
Amen.
That's who you are. And redemption, you really have been redeemed. But when He says "and redemption," if we go to one last scripture, try to get you there. "And redemption," He says, "and redemption." So you are redeemed, but He has also made you redemption. Brother, you are just a lifesaver. I'm appreciating you. And the reason I say that, He says this. "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown." So we always say that. You know, God, you know, gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, and He multiplies my seed sown. But what about this last phrase it says in here? "And increase the fruits of your righteousness." Do you read that part? "And increase the fruits of your righteousness." You have redemption. It's gone black on you, but you got it. All right? But you have redemption. She knows where it is. You have redemption. So what God is saying to you, He's going to increase your redemption. How? Because now you can do something Jesus couldn't ever do. Ooh. Jesus said in the Bible, "All these things that you see me do, you shall do." But then He said what? "And greater works than these shall you do." What could be greater than what Jesus could do?
That's a good question.
I'm going to answer it for you. You can talk to a man and cause that man, by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, to be saved, and you can cause him to get a new nature. A righteous nature. As long as Jesus was walking the earth, He could not do that. He could only do that after He was raised from the dead. until Jesus Christ himself was reborn, he was limited in the earth by all the sense things that bound up the old covenant. In the new covenant, he says, I'm going to make you a group of royal priests. And I'm going to send you out. And I'm going to increase your redemption because you're going to redeem others. You're going to preach to others and they're going to get saved. You're going to teach men and it's going to change their life and it's going to take them to a higher understanding of God. You're going to cause men to come up higher. That's why. That's what you can do that Jesus never could do. And you can do it 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. There's just no real limit on how many times you can do it. And that's why he said, even greater things than I do, shall you do. He wasn't jealous. He just knew that he was limited by the timing and position that he was in because man had not been born again. God loves you. Yes. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I praise you. I worship you. My prayer, Lord, is that we have gotten it. That we know, Lord, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ and that our righteousness is a condition that we are. It is not a wish. It is not a want. It is who we are. And because it is who we are, we can say, sickness, you have no right in this place, in this house, because I am the righteousness of God in Christ, and there is no sickness in Christ, and therefore none in me. Because my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus, there is no economic breakdown in heaven. So now, Lord, we can say, my God shall supply all of my needs according to the riches of God in heaven by Christ Jesus. We are not any longer the beaten, the oppressed, the knocked down. We are the knockers. We are the aggressor. The devil can no longer defeat you. He is a defeated foe. You don't need to do a rope-a-dope on him. All we need to do, Father God, is tell him out of our way. In Jesus' name, out of our way. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Thank you that you made us what we needed to be. We are righteous in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you so much, Brother Eddie.